Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Q, it's 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades, finding their customers the right price, best insurance. And if you need a claim or you have questions, they are right there for you every step of the way. That's Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Get to J.J. and Williamsport in just a moment. First of all, our play-by-play call of the day, the game winner with Bill Hillgrove on 100.9 The Valley.
First and 10 at the 31 of the Bengals. Then in the gun, 15 seconds to go. The Steelers have a timeout left.
Blitz is coming.
All here it comes. And a quick pop over the middle. Running free. That's Antonio. 10-5. Touchdown, Pittsburgh. You gotta be here.
Oh, baby.
Unbelievable.
All out blitz. Ben Hot Reads of AB coming from his left split end. He comes in motion. Gets right behind Justin Hunter. And as the blitz comes, he shows a quick slant. And you live by the blitz, you die by the blitz.
Let's keep our eyes on the Escaloosa as Bengal faithful descend into the Ohio River.
Great pick play. Loved it. I'm glad, by the way, they didn't call it. So, all right. That's our play-by-play call of the day. J.J. Williamsport, you've been waiting for a while. I want to get to you as quickly as I can. My apologies for making you wait.
No problem. I'd like to make a couple comments on the game. Before the game even come around, everything in the newspaper and everything was how Michigan State was giving up 300-plus yard passing to all the teams they've been playing.
Correct.
And here, we get in the game, and granted, Trace McSorley's been good all the way through up till this game here, and he admitted that he didn't have a good game. But what I'd like to know is he only threw 32 times. But mm-hmm. at the same time, he wasn't hitting nothing, but I think he hit one pass maybe over 15 yards down the field.
Yeah.
Why isn't it, if Nick Saban can take out his first-string quarterback in a championship game because he wasn't doing anything and put his second stringer in, why wouldn't Franklin try Tommy Stevens for a couple series or the other quarterback for a couple series to see if that would change the momentum in our deep passing patterns?
Okay, fair. That's fair. That's a fair question, J.J. When you've had a guy, there's a big difference between Jalen Hurts, for example, who really is not a consistent thrower of the football, and Trace McSorley. McSorley is a guy who's made so many big throws along the way, who then, you know, he may go through a couple of series where it's not quite right, and all of a sudden he hits rhythm and he goes. And you'll notice that there's probably a small chance now that Nick Saban would go to Tua Tagovailoa and put Jalen Hurts in, because that would not be the right move for them to make now that Tua Tagovailoa has established himself. Trace has been playing in every game. Tommy, because of injury and so forth, has not really had a chance to play in any games this season except in the Ohio State game in the Lion role. And for Sean Clifford, his experience has so far been late in games. And to me, I think you ride your championship type of quarterback as far as you can, because I feel he does give you the best shot at winning. Although I see, you know, you're trying to change things up and see if something can happen. So I appreciate the point you're making.
Yeah, I mean, just to throw him in there for a couple series to see. I mean, he is, what, 6'6", 6'5",
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. But, I mean, we've yet to see him outside of three plays in the Ohio State game. as to, you know, even, like I said, being that tall doesn't mean he wouldn't have the touch to get to the receivers. I mean,
right.
Trace had the tight end over there all in the open for a first down, overthrew him. Then he threw Tompkins down through the middle there, overthrew him. I mean, he just wasn't on. So why wouldn't you, if you want to win the game, are you worried about hurting the quarterback's feelings? Why wouldn't you try just something for a couple series?
Yeah, in other words, this is something that I thought of during the course of the game. I tell you, you know, JJ, you know, we kind of thought about that. To be honest with you, because it's Trace McSorley, neither Jack nor I ever even thought or considered that along the way, because it is the guy that, you know, that you've kind of ridden to this point. And yeah, you're right. Was he having the day of all days? No, he was not. He was having a rough day, one of the few ones he's had. I can appreciate your point about, hey, maybe for a couple series, try the other guy, see how he's doing. I just think that when I look at Penn State football, I always feel that no matter what, Penn State's best chance of winning is when Trace McSorley's on the field, and that's just my opinion on it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree. The kid, when he's on, he's terrific.
Yeah.
I mean, he did a hell of a job there at the Ohio State game and everything like that. But like I said, bottom line is Penn State fans and everything want to win the game.
Sure.
And if switching off, because I watch a lot of football on Saturdays, from SEC to everything else, that coaches aren't afraid if their quarterbacks aren't producing and are just off that day, they aren't afraid to try something for a couple series, another quarterback. And I just, like I said, I think it was an injustice to the Penn State Nation, as you want to call it, that he wouldn't try Tommy Stevens for a couple series. You know,
I know what you're saying. You're trying to say, hey, give him a series or two to see if he can kind of change the fortunes around. You're not saying permanently replace the guy.
No.
Right,
because maybe Trace needed just to get his thoughts together on the sideline there, you know, for a couple series.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's I can see where you're coming from. Now, I never would have even thought of that because I still, you know, because that thought never entered my mind. But, I mean, I can understand why you'd at least ask the question. That's a fair question.
You know what you kind of sound like, though? You kind of sound like Joe, the old Joe, because he would ride who he put in there to start with all the way to the bitter end.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You didn't. You weren't even thinking about, you know, throwing somebody else in there, but
no, I really
like I said, it was a terrible loss.
Yeah, no, it was a hard loss, and it does bring up obviously questions and certainly innovative ideas that could maybe change a fortune. So I appreciate the fact you're doing that.
And I don't know, maybe you might have an answer to it. How come we don't try screen passes or flanker screen passes?
Yeah, you know what? That's one thing that I noticed on Saturday was that the running backs had no catches in the game. And that's, I think, an area where maybe Penn State misses Saquon Barkley more than any other area, was the ability to use him as a pass receiver. Not that Miles Sanders can't be a good pass receiver, because I think he can be a very good pass receiver. But for whatever reason, that was a game where the running backs were not targeted. And I think it's something that obviously going forward, you know, if you've got five guys out in the pattern, one of those five guys happens to be a running back, and if you can utilize that and get them on a linebacker in a mismatch, it probably can help.
Yeah. I kind of think our offensive passing package is vanilla.
Okay.
There's nothing really to it.
Yeah, they need to get better separation. There's no question about that.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Steve.
JJ, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it. All right. Next up is Randy in Danville. Hi, Randy. How have you been?
Okay, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking, Randy.
Why, Steve, had a couple things. One, I know at the beginning of the year, Coach Franklin said this is the best offensive line he's had since he's been there, but he doesn't really identify. Does that mean that we're no longer terrible, that we're average? Or that offensive line is not getting the job done. I mean, we had two great runs, and of course, part of that was because Sanders probably made the best run of his career, you know, in that long run. That's a concern to me that they can't seem to get the job done on the offensive line. And the reason I bring that up is because with 2 minutes to go, the Michigan State football coach challenged his defense and said, look, we're going to punt this football because we don't think Penn State can get a first down. We have three timeouts left, and we have the potential for either Penn State or us getting the ball out of bounds and stopping the clock. And the biggest mistake that McSorley made all year was letting himself get put in a position to be out of bounds and then getting an extra timeout. However, the thing is that their coach challenged his defense, and when he challenged them, it was obvious to 100,000 fans that they thought they could get the ball back with 2 minutes to go. And I think Coach Franklin should have called his offense over and said, guys, do you know what this coach is telling you guys? You can't get a first down. That's all I had to say.
Well, obviously, you want to be able to take the ball at that point, and you want to do, let's use a slice of history here. The way Penn State, for example, closed out the 2007 Outback Bowl against Tennessee. Remember how they took the ball with that offensive line and Tony Hunt, and they just pounded it and pounded it and pounded it, and they put the game away. You'd love to be in that situation, have that kind of scenario where straight ahead you can just pound it at them. Now, you're also trying to do it against the defense. Even though you've broken up a couple of big runs during the course of the day, you are doing it against the defense. It's a pretty good downhill defense that's giving up only 33.8 yards a game. So I think you've got to sit back and think a little bit about how you want to attack it. And do you attack it maybe the same way? Because the way they closed out the Fiesta Bowl, I really liked, because Penn State utilized the pass game and did not just want to rely on running the football in the fourth quarter of that game against Washington. Now, they're different defenses, but the Washington defense is pretty good, and they utilize the pass to get the job done to close that game out. And in this particular case, they decided to run the ball.
Yeah, that kind of surprised me. I thought that, and the biggest problem, I know your last caller, you know, talked about getting the Miles involved and others involved in the pass game, but
yeah,
sometimes I think he's just got to stay back there and block, or McSorley's just not going to have a chance.
Yeah, and, you know, I felt Michigan State, I thought Michigan State did a good job of maybe not sacking him, because they only sacked him one time, but I think they closed the pocket to a point where it felt claustrophobic.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this wasn't Michigan State's best team. It was the best team they could put on the field Saturday, but I don't know. It just surprises me that at home we didn't take care of these people, but this team. But
yep.
Appreciate your time.
Appreciate your time very much and your comments, Randy. Thank you. Next up, Dick in Milton. Hi, Dick. How have you been?
Hey, Steve. I'm going to accept the responsibility for this defeat. I actually went up to Beaver Stadium on Saturday night, first time since 2016, even though I've been there many, many times. I walked out with 2 minutes and whatever to go when we were going to get the punt. And I said, well, we only have to run a few plays and, you know, we'll win this football game. And by God, we didn't win it. But my other comment, you know, we had a third down in four. We could have kept the drive alive, and he throws the ball like down to the 10 or 5 yard line. That didn't make any sense. That, you know, I'm not, if you throw that pass 100 times, I'm not sure how many you're gonna complete, as opposed to, you know, eight or nine yard pass. We only needed 4 yards for a first down to keep that one drive alive. I just don't understand that play selection right there. And two other things, you know, their third down play selection and conversion rate was really good compared to what, if we even had any, not very many. So
their third down conversion rate, I'm trying to think, their third down conversion rate was no better than okay in the game. What helped them was converting third downs on penalties. I mean,
that's my point. So we didn't. I don't even know what ours was at all. I don't think it was very good.
No, Penn State's third down conversion rate was not very good in the game. But they were helped tremendously by the third down hold on Cam Brown. That's in the open field. It's a hook. I can see that. All right. They were really helped on the third down conversion play on the Robert Windsor hold, which, as far as I'm concerned, there's no business calling that one at all. And then they were really helped, obviously, on the goal line when they misfired on third and one, and an unsportsmanlike conduct was called. There's no question that was the right call. So, I mean, well, those are three instances right there where you stop them, yeah. And you're, you know, and in stopping them, you then, again, with a self-inflicted wound.
But a lot of times, I can't tell you, I'd have to look at the two or three times they had like third and eight or third and nine, and they had a 12-yard pass. You know, I fail to see that we actually threw the ball at all with the third and whatever. Most of the time we would take Sanders and run him right up the in between the guard and the tackle or whatever, and we got hardly anything out of that play. How many times do you think we ran that play that he ran into the line? More than once, more than twice. Too many.
Yeah, I couldn't even begin to guess how many times.
But he didn't. But we never got a first down conversion out of it. You know, there's a couple times that, to me, it's just, I'm going to say the place, I thought our play calling was a little bit suspect at times at the wrong times, I guess. And I'm not blaming McSorley. I'm not blaming whoever.
Right.
The game was ours to win, and we didn't win it.
There's no question about that. No question.
I agree. I think our offensive line sometimes doesn't open enough holes, or they did at least in this game. Maybe Michigan State's defensive line's a lot better than I thought they were going to be. But, you know, I don't know what to think.
Penn State was 3 of 14 on third down, to amplify your point. And Michigan State was 5 of 19.
Well, that was about the same, and they got several on penalties.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that. I just think that we get too easy to defense if we're not going to do something a little bit differently, especially on third down.
Yeah, and the RPO is actually designed in such a way where it's supposed to keep you off balance defensively. And I felt Michigan State did a great job of staying on balance almost all day. And I think that one of the keys that they did in that game, Dick, is that Penn State's running game really works when Trace McSorley is involved. And I don't mean to the point of 175 yards against Ohio State, but on days where he can get 5-6 yards here, 6-7 yards there, ends up with a 40-50-yard rushing game, they really did a great job of selling out to make sure that he did not hurt them in the running game. And I thought that was a key to how Michigan State won the game, because they kept McSorley from being a factor in the running game.
I think, yeah, that they pretty much focused on him and took him out of his game, him out of his game completely. But if they're focused on him, then somebody else should be, kind of like in basketball, it's, you know, somebody else should be open somewhere on that field, I guess, point.
Right. No, and I understand that. And it's a question now of them going through it and trying to find out where that is. Because, look, I mean, did Michigan State provide a blueprint for other teams as to how to do this? They might have, but other teams don't quite have that front four that Michigan State has. It's interesting. The Michigan State front four plays the run really, really well. I mean, not just good. They play it really, really well. But they're not really great pass rushers. And that's why I looked at it, and you see Michigan State this year, they gave up a lot of big pass plays. And Penn State couldn't get any in this game. As you pointed out, they only had one pass play of 25 yards in the game. And that's not been the MO. And I just thought they collapsed the pocket to the point where, yeah, McSorley was able to throw the ball, but he wasn't really able to step in and make a play. And I think they also cut down the time he had to make decisions.
Yeah, I'm not blaming McSorley. Look, it was up there on the board. He's the all-time leading passer in Penn State history.
Yeah.
And that's over.
I'm just talking about what Michigan State did to make in the game. Yeah, you know.
But maybe we should flank the running back once in a while. I don't know. How good of a receiver is he? I don't have any idea, because I don't see him catch the ball.
That's an area where I looked at it in the spring, and they were getting Miles involved in the spring in the pass game. And as I said to Jack when it was over with, I said, you know what? I said, he's a little better receiver, I think, than everybody realizes. Early in the season, they got him the ball in space. I think it's something they need to consider, at least as one of the minute options in this, but the ability to get maybe Miles in space, I think his hands are good enough to make plays like that.
Well, the only thing going forward, it'd be, other than Rutgers in Indiana, you know, we got to play better than that to beat those other teams on our schedule.
No question. There's no question. Indiana
Maryland's pretty good. Iowa's good, and Michigan's always Michigan. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. And then Wisconsin. Yep, you're absolutely right about all that. This is a tough road in the schedule. Now, do I think Penn State's capable of handling it? Yeah, I do. But they're going to have to go out and handle it, though. They have to go out and prove it, and they've got
to
keep their mistakes
down. They're going to have to play like they played in the first half against Ohio State more than they played in the whatever.
Right. Yep. No, I hear you.
Okay, thanks, Steve.
Hey, thank you, Dick. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have done a great job over the years of putting the customer first. That great commercial that Adam did, spring into early summer, we talked about the rental car, and I believe the customer was in Canada. And something happened. They wanted to make sure they were covered. He said, yeah, you're covered. He gave them peace of mind. And he felt that, hey, look, that his time was your time. And so the other way around. And that's important to have an insurance agent that cares about you, the customer, that much. They'll try to find you the best insurance. They'll try and find you the best price, whether it's auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be. They are the insurance experts. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We've had a series of great callers today. A lot of calls today on the show. And after Saturday's game, I expected there'd be calls, and we appreciate all of them that we've had today. And some interesting points and some interesting questions. Before we get to Ben Jones of StateCollege.com and get his take on the game, Matt Leon will be on tomorrow's show, and get his take on the game, we would like to pay tribute to Coach Dick Hort. He announced on Facebook, with great gratitude to Roger Haddon and everyone here, that he decided that Friday night would be his last game. And he has been absolutely invaluable as a resource, as a source of knowledge. Everyone in this station, myself included, would call him a great friend. And we've been so appreciative of everything that Coach Dick Hort has done for us over the years. And we want to thank him for everything he has done for us over the years. And I think it's been a great pleasure. And it's, I think it's also a learning experience for Shikellamy fans to listen to him along with Kevin all these years, because I feel like they were able to get the best information and the best broadcast going. So, Coach Hort, thanks so much. We cannot thank you enough for everything you've done for us and for being such a good friend to the station and a personal friend to all of us. I don't know if anything you want to add, Sean. I mean, other than the fact that obviously somebody drove somebody else out again.
What? It's funny.
Well, I go, you know who certain people are hard to work with.
I go back to Friday's show when we had your brother on, and we were talking about Myron Cope and Joe Gordon, the longtime Steelers PR man.
Right.
Who was with the team for 50-plus years. And Myron trusted Joe so much, and it's like, hey, when you think it's time for me to go, you tell me. Well, it's really ironic. Dick felt the time it was time for him to go last Friday night once the broadcast was over. And actually, Kevin texted me Friday night. I just left here Friday night for the night after we wrapped up game night. I was on my way home, and that's when Kevin texted me that Dick told me that was his last game. I was absolutely floored by the news. But we've brought this up before. You know, I know we have a privilege of hearing you and Hammer every single week on Penn State football. And when it came to Kevin and Horty, the exact same thing. It's like you want to take something away from each broadcast. You want to each time I would listen to Horty, I would be just a little more football savvy compared to when that broadcast started. And that's what you look for. And we can't thank Horty enough for all the years. Not only did he coach so many people for such a long time, and his football acumen is so wonderful, but we just can't thank him enough for not only his kind words to us for all we did for him, but hey, you know, it's the other way around. It's what Horty gave us every single Friday night on the radio.
Absolutely. Great tribute to a guy that I just think is terrific. And Shikellamy fans and WKOK fans have been extremely fortunate over the years to have that voice and that knowledge on the air. So, Coach Hort, thank you so much from all of us to you for all that you have done. And our paths will cross many times as the years go by. Just make sure that when our paths do cross again, you realize there's a depth of appreciation from us to you.
I already made it clear to him and his better half that we need to see them in early December at the holiday party.
Absolutely. Is there a Shikellamy basketball game that night?
You know, it's funny. When I texted you the date, I was waiting for that question from you. It's like, I should have checked the schedule.
I'd check now because, I mean, it'll actually play a role in me going.
Suit hasn't come around the corner yet. Since the date was officially kicked around, he hasn't come around the corner yet being all huffy as to as to whether there's a conflict that night. So
I always love how he's always so huffy. You're like, okay. Huffy about what? Just go sell something. He'll take the huffiness away.
Just another day.
Absolutely. All right, let's bring in Ben Jones, statecollege.com, get his thoughts on the game. Ben, welcome. Great to have you back.
Hey, thanks for having me, Steve.
All right, Ben, let's get to the game itself. It played out as one of those 3 to 3.5 hour trips to the dentist. What did you think as you watched it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that I tweeted this, so there's evidence that I thought it too, that, you know, as that third quarter was going along, that Penn State was really, you know, sort of fixing to lose that game. They were letting Michigan State hang around. They couldn't quite get things going on offense in the second half. And you kind of knew that at some point here, you know, the defense is going to get tired. You've got to get off the field if you're the defense, and the offense can help you out a lot there. You know, Mark D'Antonio is one of the best coaches in those late game situations for my money in terms of figuring out ways to, you know, squeeze out these wins and find ways to score late. He did exactly that. You know, it's a game that Penn State probably should have won. You look at some of the interceptions that got dropped late there. You figure that this offense plays anything semblance, you know, anything that reminds you of the, you know, the week before or 2 weeks ago or even earlier in the season, you know, they get 28, 30 points on the board. They were there to be scored. They win this game. They feel a lot more comfortable. But, you know, if you want to point at the coaches a little bit for the Ohio State game and how that ended, I think in some respects you can point at the players in this one and say they could have executed a little bit better, could have caught some things, could have made some passes, could have caught some balls. So it all evens out in the end, I suppose. But yeah, your third quarter, you're sitting there thinking, you know, Penn State's trying to lose this game, and ultimately they did.
With all due respect to the defensive performance that Michigan State put together, and Michigan State did really well, especially the guys up front, Bocci in the middle. Let's give credit where credit's due. Are you surprised that we would have any point during the course of our talks during the season we'd be talking about the offense?
Yeah, I mean, you would not have thought that Penn State's offense, for as good as Michigan State's defense played, like you said, especially up front, that they would have struggled to throw the ball, especially against this Michigan State defense, which had been their weakness a little bit. That was been the area that you could exploit them, and you saw that a little bit early. Trace, I think at one point was 5 for 5. He was at least 4 for 4, moved the ball down the field. They looked good. You went, okay, this makes sense. And in a lot of ways, it reminds me of the last time that these teams played, last year, where Penn State in the first half before the rain delay moved the ball pretty well through the air. It looked pretty good. And certainly, you put 3 hours and 23 minutes or whatever it is between them and, the rest of the game, things are going to be weird. But really, after that rain delay, Penn State's offense didn't click quite the same. You could say that about the first and second half on Saturday, that it just didn't really come together. You figure that Miles Sanders was going to get slowed down at some point. He was going to be rattling off 40 and 70 yards. Touchdown runs or long runs, that is. But yeah, I mean, this offense, it looked a little bit out of sorts, and it could never quite get back on the tracks. Trace was hard on himself after the game. He looked, it's sort of uncharacteristic of us to ever have to talk about Trace being, a guy that could have played better, because he's so often the guy that's carrying this offense. He wasn't as sharp. It certainly wasn't his fault, but he probably could have played better, and that's kind of just sort of wraps it all up when your best player isn't even playing his best. Everybody else sort of followed suit.
But isn't there a point for any player when suddenly they hit one of those, but their teammates around them help him out? And maybe he needed, obviously on this particular day, maybe he needed more help.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I think sometimes, people that cover the team, people are fans of the team, even teammates, you look at Trace and go, he's the guy that's going to figure it out. He's going to, make enough plays. He's going to Iowa this one. He's going to Appalachian State this one. He's going to find a way to put together a drive. And really, there was a moment in that second half when he started to do that. But, even he, you need some help at some point. He
sure
needs somebody to make a play. He needs somebody to catch. And he wasn't really getting that. And at some point, he was, for 3 years of this kid starting, he was due for a game where someone else had to carry the load a little bit. And certainly, Saquon and Trace and those guys did that. But, yeah, Saturday was a moment where he could use a little bit of help, and he didn't really get it.
Where to from here, Ben? And, I mean, how important is it for them to win? And because winning can certainly change an attitude. How important is it for them if they can go into Bloomington and win this week?
Yeah, I think it's important because these guys are young. I mean, you can say about whether they ought to be playing better or worse or if they're on par for where they are right now, but at the end of the day, a lot of these guys are young. They haven't played a lot of football. They haven't been through the ups and downs before, at least not in a starting role. So I think to go out and win and be able to, we talk about basketball, see the ball go through the hoop, I think, that's going to be big for them because Trace has seen it all. He'll be fine this week. He'll figure it out. But the fact of the matter is a lot of these guys are going to still be playing football for Penn State after Trace McSorley is no longer on this team, and they're going to have to figure out how to win without him. They're going to have to figure out how to win on their own. And going out and winning a game on the road against the Indiana team that's always, whatever Penn State's record is against Indiana, Indiana is always sort of feisty, especially, the past 5 years or so. So I think definitely going on the road, getting away from home, because I think sometimes it's harder to lose at home, in terms of the emotions. I think when you lose in front of your fans, that takes a little bit more wind out of your sails than you go on the road, and there's a lot of different things you can kind of chalk a loss up to. So I think if they can go to Bloomington, win that game, kind of see the ball go through the hoop, and then come back and take care of Iowa, suddenly you've got a little bit more momentum. Maybe the Big Ten East run is over for them. Maybe the playoff run is over for them. But we've seen year and year again that there's a lot more to play for, and certainly a lot of big games left to kind of hang your hat on when this year is all said and done.
In fact, they're going to face a team in Indiana with Peyton Ramsey, a quarterback. So I give Tim Allen a lot of credit. I mean, last year he said, look, going forward, this is the guy we need. So they did take their lumps with him last year. Now we're starting to see him play pretty well. What do you think of Peyton Ramsey?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen Indiana over the years has had some pretty good quarterbacks and has had some, right, you know, guys that have been able to throw the ball down the field. Once you get him into a system where he's comfortable and is able to get weapons that he's comfortable with, you know, really the sky's the limit. I think, you know, Indiana looked pretty good the past couple of years. We kind of forget a lot when we talk about the 2016 season that Indiana was up in that game in the fourth quarter. You know, Penn State ended up winning by 2 touchdowns, I think it was, with like a fumble 6 or something like that late. But, you know, Indiana's been comfortable in its own skin. Tom Allen's done a good job of making them that way. And I think Penn State, you know, has been a team over the years that has struggled a little bit with quarterbacks that are able to throw it well. And you can maybe say that about any team that faces a good quarterback. But, you know, you get a guy that's confident, a guy that's getting wins under his belt. And while certainly history would say that Penn State should be favored in this game, and I know in Vegas they're favored in this game, you know, I don't think, especially now with 2 losses in a row, you know, this Penn State team can't take anything for granted.
James Franklin has preached, and he preaches this over and over again, and preach is probably the wrong word, this is the word I'm using at the moment, but he tells his team over and over and over again, remember, the team that makes the fewest mistakes is going to put itself in a position to win. Saturday, Michigan State, in the end, they got away with some mistakes, but they made the fewer mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, that was part of the reason why going into the Ohio State game, I didn't think that Penn State was going to win, and certainly they didn't, but not how I envisioned. I just thought, you look at the first few weeks of the season, you know, Penn State had taken points off the board, they had had long plays called back, they just done, you know, for lack of a better word, just sort of dumb things that they were preventable, and that's hard to change overnight. You don't, you know, erase those mistakes overnight. And I thought, you know, going into Ohio State, they were going to be that sort of team, whether they wanted it or not. And for the most part, they avoided those dumb mistakes. And then you go into Michigan State and you try and avoid them again. You know, I obviously, you know, penalties hurt, but it was not so much a penalty filled game as it was just these moments where you go, I'd like that throw back. I'd like that interception attempt back. Mistakes that are not so much discipline or mental related, they're just sort of like things that you would like back. You'd like that read back, you'd like that call back, all these little things. And Michigan State, like you said, they made mistakes too, but sometimes it's just who makes the last mistake. And you know, Penn State, for all intents and purposes, Imani, you know, between the penalty or dropping, you know, the game-winning interception for all intents and purposes, and then getting a little turned around on that game-winning touchdown, you know, there are a lot of reasons why Penn State lost. It's not just him, but, you know, he did make those last two mistakes, and ultimately it'll be on him and to kind of rebound from that, and I'm sure he will. He's played a lot of football. He's a confident guy. But like you said, and like James has said all year, you've got to make the fewest mistakes. You've got to win those turnover battles, and Penn State couldn't do it on Saturday.
Yeah, turnovers and penalties. Did you ever get and again, I have no answer for this, so I guess I'm going to go with what Mike Pereira, I guess, said on TV and the explanation he gave. But I mean, and it's just a point of interest. I'm not saying this swings the game one way or the other. It's far from that. But what did you get an explanation on the pass where the arm was hit and went backwards a yard and a half and out of bounds?
Yeah, I don't have an official one. My best guess, and having not looked up the rule and whatever rule Bible there is out there, my guess is that since you can't get hit into a intentional grounding, which is to say that they're not going to, if you get hit and throw it and they deem it a throw and it goes forward and it would have been intentional grounding anyway, you can't get called for that.
Right.
My guess is that once they deem it a pass, that if you impacted the pass as a defender, it doesn't matter where it goes because then it becomes a fumble. That, I mean, that you're right, it doesn't make sense to me either. I mean, it's a yard and a half, so maybe it doesn't matter, but you still, you know, you look at that and go, you know, I don't have an answer any more than you do, really. My guess is that they're just, once they establish it's a pass, they don't care where it goes, but that kind of goes against pretty much, you know, another set of rules that you don't fully understand. So I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I'm just trying to be fair about it. In other words, somebody calls up and says, what do you think about the ruling? I don't know. And usually I'm pretty good with rules. That one took me aback as to, because when I saw it, my common sense was, okay, he didn't intend to throw it there, but there's no doubt his arm's going forward, but that's where the direction the ball went. So isn't it, you know, and so that's where I approach, trying to approach the common sense of it. They know more about it than I do, and I want to be fair to them about it in terms of calling it.
Yeah, we say they know more about it than we do, but there's sometimes I wonder if that is the case.
And on that note, I think we'll call it a day. Ben, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Steve.
Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. We'll wrap up in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, last couple minutes here. Our thanks to Joe Susan for being on the show today. Also, our thanks to Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. Tomorrow will be Matt Leon and Neil Coulong on the show tomorrow, so we'll go Steelers-Eagles on the show tomorrow. And thanks to all the callers we had today, of which there were many. I wasn't surprised by that, but there were many. And we hope that when it was all said and done, that you felt your point was heard loud and clear and with respect. That's what we hope. And our thanks again to Coach Hort. And we've tried to contact several potential analysts, and all of them seem to have the same reservation. Don't laugh.
Or deep concern.
No, I think it's reservation.
Trepidation. Quite the situation.
Well, one was very blunt about it. He says, I get to work with Mike Filazzo? I'm like, no.
Wait, he's back? No, that's the other chair.
Yeah, we could bring Filazzo back and then move the other guy to the analyst chair. No?
Well, he is an analyst for another team in this area, so...
Yeah, why not?
It kind of makes sense if you think about it.
I mean, go with the formula that works. I mean, you know.
By the way, no Shikellamy basketball game the night of the holiday party this year. I know that crushed you when I told you that during the break.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, whatever the insurance needs are, they'll take care of it for you and find you the best price. And their customer service is with you every step of the way. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. December 5th, good night for a makeup game.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.